Hello, communitarians, and welcome to The Voice, where we do the same thing we normally do, except we do it with our mouths. Today's a special day on The Voice, as this edition is going to run a little bit longer. I'm going to take some of the news perspective type stuff that I've done previously with The Thief and mash it together with some of the more review type stuff I've done in the past. And knowing me, there's sure to be a rant hidden in there somewhere. Hopefully I'll be able to bring all the rage, contempt, and hatred to a gentle simmering stew you can cut away the pain to. So let's kick this abomination off with a question, eh? On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel? On that same scale, how would you rate the solidity of, say, your relationship with your mother? The depression you felt the first time you learned one of your relatives had died? Are you having a hard time? Well, what if I bumped the scale up to, like, 1 out of 100? Surely that'll make it easier for you to boil down your emotional reactions into a single number, right? It's thought experiments like this that have me wanting to agree with THQ Vice President Danny Bilson that you can't apply math to art. Of course, Bilson said this in response to the swan dive score of 70 Homefront received on Metacritic. I'm referring, of course, to the comments he gave to IGN in which he said we should pay more attention to the fact that the game sold over 1 million copies, a benchmark it passed back in March. Now, of course, my slimeball alert is already going off, because as VP of a company, Bilson has to be as much of a message man as he is an administrator, and I have the feeling that if Homefront was found to be a guaranteed cause of testicular cancer, Bilson would be touting the game as an alternative to birth control. But on the other hand, there is something to be said about this. Andy Chalk's Escapist article reporting Bilson's comments said the poor Metacritic score might have a negative impact on sales among score-obsessed gamers. Does anybody know a score-obsessed gamer? Who the hell are these people? Are they the same way about everything they choose to absorb? The scary thing is that the Escapist article suggests there's enough of these people to actually give them some kind of clout, as if their decision to buy or not to buy this game might have some effect on its overall success. So what's next? Do we start rating generic grocery products based on quality? I can see it now. Strawberries, 60 out of 100. People who bought this also bought whipped cream, costume, handcuffs, gardening gloves, bleach, hacksaw, shovel. But anyway, you see what I'm getting at here. What kind of sheep am I if I need a numerical rating system to tell me what to buy? But then again, rating systems have been around pretty much since entertainment's been around, and probably well before, in fact. And it's pretty smug to throw your hands up in the air and declare the system doesn't apply to you just because the critics aren't capable of understanding the true depth of your artistic wonder. So in short, bad form, Danny Bilson, but I'm still kind of rooting for you. Trolling the free-to-play universe is tough. On the one hand, you have a wealth of content at your disposal, and most of it just a click away, and on the other hand, well, most of that content is unadulterated crap. Not so in the case of Spiral Knights, the free-action MMO from Californian indie developer Three Rings. Three Rings seems to have hit on the perfect formula for a game that's going to rely almost entirely on banner ads and word of mouth to expand, and that its visual style is equal parts vividly cartoonish and adorable. Your Spiral Knight is essentially a sackboy in weird steampunk armor who runs around Candyland fighting jelly shapes. The tooth-rotting sweetness is enough to draw the Farmville crowd, but there's definitely a lot of solid core gameplay elements there to keep the MMO fans happy. Let's backtrack a little bit and talk about story. You're a Spiral Knight, and the ship that seemed to be carrying the entirety of your race crash-landed on a remote world. The ship's undergoing repairs, but without its power source, you Spirals are going to be stranded there for some time. Luckily, just beneath the surface of the planet is a teeming mass of endlessly shifting zones called the Clockworks. You access the Clockworks, the meat of the game, via gates that open periodically in Haven, the name given to the Spiral's base camp. Once in the Clockworks, you and a party of fellow knights must delve as deep as you possibly can into the crust of the planet, retrieving minerals that will allow you not only to open more gates, but to influence the sorts of zones you'll encounter on the way down. What zones you play through will influence things like what sorts of enemies you'll be up against and the tile sets of the maps you'll be running through. Now, I know what you're thinking, and that story has never really had much to do with the appeal of an MMO, and depending on how well The Old Republic does when it finally comes out, it'll probably stay that way. But story does have one pretty big role to play, in that to some extent it defines what developers do with the gameplay. Take WoW, for example. The overarching story here is about two warring factions trying to edge each other out for the same limited resources in space while contending with otherworldly invaders bent on turning them all into slavering minions or baking them into a pie or something, depending on which era of the game you're playing. This means there's a focus on PvP, as well as quests oriented on collecting materials or slaying enemies in hopes of furthering this war effort. Spiral Knights, on the other hand, is all about cooperation. Players form parties to raid the Clockworks, and a lot of the team's success is dictated not only by their combat prowess, but how well that team manages resources. Each player has, in addition to health, a resource called Energy, which fills to 100 and takes an entire day to recharge. Energy is used for things like descending to a new level in the Clockworks, opening treasure gates found in specific zones, or reviving dead party members. The game allows you to set up an energy tab, meaning you can cover the energy costs of other players, either simply paying for their elevator fees or for every expenditure they make. This encourages cooperation and coordination as the players try to make the best of each foray into the Clockworks, because doing poorly will cost you precious energy you could have spent on another run. Also, the deeper you go, the more heat you acquire, which tempers and levels up your gear, unlocking its hidden potential. The system also completely replaces standard leveling by character, so it's pretty important to make the most of it. In terms of gameplay, Spiral Knights is, well, MMO-lite, diet MMO, but not in a bad way. You move simply by pressing left-click and aiming your cursor in the direction you want to go. You attack with your equipped weapon by mashing the right-click and change weapons with the mouse wheel. You pretty much only get to choose between a sword and a gun, with a shield for defense, but even this allows for a basic MMO-style combat system when coupled with unique environmental hazards and enemy AI. The basics of ranged versus melee DPS and even tanking are all represented to the point that knowing them will enhance your experience of the game, but not knowing them won't ruin the game for you. On the flip side, pretty much every free MMO has a couple of glaring flaws, and Spiral Knights is no exception. Loading screens pop up pretty much every time you want to go somewhere that isn't directly in your field of vision, and there's no global auction house, so anything you can't find for yourself, you basically have to barter by spamming general chat, which is pretty annoying after a while. So yeah, maybe if you're looking for that richness and depth and background in gameplay that the MMO genre usually provides, like 20-man raids and elite questing or PvP, then perhaps Spiral Knights is not for you. But if you're looking for the shade of that MMO experience that won't break your budget of money or time, you should definitely give this one a shot. Well, folks, that's all I've got for now. For more news, reviews, and my opinionated takes on gaming issues, hit up incontrol88.wordpress.com or check out my rants for the Paranerds podcast at paranerds.com. Until next time, I'm incontrol88, this has been The Voice, and you're on The Community. Peace, gamers.